Yeah, but the sermon title is Welcome. Say welcome. Welcome, welcome to the last days. What's welcome mean? Praise God. Come on in. Praise God. It means welcome. Don't mean a bad thing, does it? Welcome. So 1 Peter 4:12, we're going to go through some things to be looking for, but really I want to end up with encouragement. I know we always, usually when you look at the last days and signs of the last days, it's bad things, it's things you don't like happening to the planet, things you don't like happening to society. That's usually, and we'll go through them real quick, but then there's some really good things about the last days. Say, there's some good things. There's some good things about the last days, and I'm going to be part of it till the end. Yes, Lord. Y'all ready? There's a little title over mine. It says, Suffering for God's Glory. Say, Suffering for God's Glory. We don't talk about that much, do we? Suffering for God's glory. Beloved, do not think it, say, do not think it strange. Say, do not think it strange. What's that mean? Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's odd. Don't think it's weird. Don't think it's unusual that this happens. Don't think it's strange concerning the what? Fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. How y'all know every time something bad happens to us, I mean, I'm talking about me, the first thing you think is what? What did I do wrong? Why is this happening? You're looking for a reason, right? Don't think it's strange. Sometimes trials are going to come, right? If you live on the planet Earth, it don't matter how much word you speak, trials are going to come. Everybody. Mom's going to die someday. Dad's going to die someday. It's going to happen. Don't mean you got to go out sick and suffering, but everybody is appointed. You got an appointment. Say, I've got an appointment with death unless Jesus returns. Praise God. I mean, we know he's going to return, but in my lifetime. Don't think it's strange that, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice. What's rejoice? Rejoice. Let out a rejoicing cry. Woo! Yeah, rejoice, yeah. Well, that wasn't very rejoicing. One, two, three. Woo! Come on, one, two, three. Woo! Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Y'all louder than that, man. That's good. I'm glad y'all kept going with it. You're just trying to get me on a rabbit trail, which is so easy. It happens every week. I'm going to try to get through this quickly and not comment too much. Don't think it's strange. Rejoice to the extent, what's extent? Well, to the extent is like, to me, is like what you put into this. The effort. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, what's that mean? Anybody get reproached this week? Accused, refused, abused. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, not because you're a jerk. Being a jerk don't qualify you for any crowns, okay? It's because you are blessed for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Signs in the heavens, number one, signs in the heavens, Matthew 24:7. I'm going to go real quick. And there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. I need say no more. Luke 21:25. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Say, welcome to the last days. Welcome to the last days. You've seen signs of it, haven't you? When you see these signs happening, it says the end's not yet, but it says these are the beginning of sorrows, right? Signs in society, right? As it was in Luke 17:26, if you're writing this down, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, we eat, don't we? They drank, we drink, don't we? They married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So signs in society, it says it'll be like the days of Noah. What were they like? It says every thought of a man's heart was wicked and continually wicked. There was nothing but wickedness that came out of man's thoughts. Days of Lot, sexual perversion. Days of Lot, extreme violence. Just reprobate society, right? God didn't pour fire and brimstone out on some place that was walking in God's will, did he? 2 Peter 3:1-9, know this, in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. See that? Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. From those such people turn away. Say, welcome to the last days. Say it like you mean it and you're excited about it. Welcome to the last days. Man, I've been wanting the last days ever since I got saved. I've been wanting Jesus to return ever since I got saved, man. That's what brought me in. That's exciting, knowing that he's, let me go on. Okay, what? Signs in, where do we start? Signs in nature and in the heavens, signs in society, and three, signs in the church. Revelation 2:4-5, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Say, welcome to the last days. I repent if I have cold love in my heart. I repent for my church if we've got cold in our love. Yes, it's your church. You need to repent for it. Not my church, your church. That was the church of Ephesus, Revelation 2:14, Pergamos. I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit, there it is, sexual immorality. Thus you have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Thyatira, Revelation 2:20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to what? Commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I have given her time to repent of her sexual immorality, but she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into a great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. And this is Revelation 3, 1, the dead church, the church of Sardis. These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Listen, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come unto you. Revelation 3:15. I know your works, that you are neither cold. Who's this? Laodicea, right? I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. Say cold or hot. Say, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Cold or hot. Cold or hot. Say it. Cold or hot. Say it again. Cold or hot. It don't say nothing in between, does it? Cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm, you are neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I have rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Kind of like the church. I was thinking of a story. Used to be on Captain Kangaroo. I know y'all never seen that, but how many of y'all saw Captain Kangaroo? Wow, I don't believe that. A bunch of you. But they used to have stories on there. I remember the Chinese fisherman, trying to think of some of them. Help me, Jesus. The little train that could. See. The pig said, I won't. The cow said, I won't. The frog said, I won't.
I won't. I won't. I won't.
Dun, dun. But that's not the one I want. Oh, come on. I got to lighten things up a little bit. Come on, man. Praise God. Have a little fun. But there was one story. It was called the King's New Suit. I think that was the name of it. Emperor's new suit, okay. A tailor knitted the king, the emperor, a new suit, and he knitted it like this, just like I'm doing right now. He's got it on a stand knitting it, but it's invisible. And when it gets done, all the people, they said, this is the most awesome suit of clothes anyone has ever worn. And so the king puts it on with his underwear, you know. He puts on this suit that doesn't exist, and he walks out, and all the people are, yay, beautiful, wow, glorious majesty. What a majestic suit you have on. And everybody's just cheering and screaming and hollering about what a beautiful suit this is. And I think it was a little boy said, he don't have no clothes on. It was a little kid that said, he doesn't have any clothes on. And the king looked down and he realized it, and the people realized it, and he ran off in shame. I don't remember what happened after that, but sometimes in these days, the church is like the king wearing a new suit and not proclaiming what's really real, but proclaiming what feels good and looks good to the masses. That story may not have fit, but it's like there's a deception. And when you're deceived, you can't see that you're deceived. You need somebody to point you, to show you there's a deception. And if you notice, two or three of these churches, sexual immorality was a huge part of what was. Well, look around. Look around. A lot's getting exposed right now. Did you notice? A lot of the clothes are getting ripped off, aren't they? Yeah. But really, the church needs to wake up And when the church proclaims the truth, the king's not always going to like it. The people aren't going to like it, because when you're naked, you want to be hidden, don't you? You don't want somebody to expose your nakedness. But if your nakedness and your sin and your faults aren't exposed, you can never correct them. You can never repent of them if you don't know they're wrong, right? So it's your job to just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. That's all you. They used to say in church, court, I don't know if they say it anymore. They say, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And that's all they want, right? And you know what seemed? I watched Perry Mason enough to know that they would start, yes, that's true, but no, I just ask you yes or no. That's all I ask you, right? You don't need to add nothing else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Chapter 2 Peter 3:1. Beloved, I write to you this second letter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Know this first, that scoffers, say scoffers. What's a scoffer? A doubter, a mocker, somebody that makes fun of the truth, right? Says the truth's not the truth. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own what? Lust. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Who's his? It's a capital H. Jesus. Where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, meaning the ones before us died and are buried, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully. There's two kinds of ignorant. There's ignorant because you're ignorant, and then there's willfully ignorant. You're ignorant because you choose to be ignorant. Willfully ignorant is reading the Word of God and denying it. Willfully ignorant is reading the Word of God and say, I'll take this, but I won't take this. I'll take this, but I won't take this. This is right, this is not right. Right? We can't be willfully ignorant. But there will be people in the last days who are willfully ignorant. And they say, ever since all of creation, we've been hearing that Jesus is coming back. How many of y'all been here since you was a little kid? Jesus is coming back. How your moms did, right? Your grandpas did that were in church. Your grandma and grandpas, your great-great-grandma and grandpas were saying that, right? Jesus is coming back soon. They were saying the signs of the times. But yet we have more evidence than ever, right? They willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Everything created by the word of God, right? The earth stood out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord, say, the Lord is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is what? Patient. He's long-suffering. He's patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Say, welcome to the last days. Say it like you're excited about it. Yes! And I had some thoughts. Was Rome wicked? Was Rome wicked? As you read history, was Rome wicked? Was Greece wicked? Was Egypt wicked? Huh, were the Druids wicked? They were what? Witches and warlocks, right? Did Pharaoh murder babies? Did he? How many you reckon? Under 2 years of age, right? Moses is the only one we know of that didn't get executed, right? was Herod, was King Herod, wicked, that ordered all the babies, what, 2 years old and under, to be executed. Say, it was bloody. It was nasty. There was swords taking off babies' heads. Come on, think about it. It was nasty. It was wicked. It was bloody. It was a bloodbath. Was it not? Really, was it? What do you think? Were they hiding? Were they doing this in secret? No. They were doing it by the order of the king, the Pharaoh. Right? Was there weeping and wailing? It'd be like, of course, Avery's how old now? 3. But it would be like, it'd be like Jack. He's 2 years old. It'd be like me watching Jack get executed in the streets. Be like Avery. Be like your child. Your child, when they were 2, getting executed right in front of your eyes. You'd be weeping. You'd be wailing. You'd be grieving. You would be screaming. You would probably try to stop it, I imagine. And probably a lot of the parents got whacked, too, because they tried to stop it. Because guess what? There was no Second Amendment in Egypt. Or Israel or Rome, right? I'm not doing a gun thing. That's true. Yes, they were wicked. The Romans were so wicked that they had orgies. I hear it's getting quite popular again. But they had orgies, drunken orgies. They had golden corrals. Huh? They had food. They ate so much food, they put troughs out. So when you got full and you couldn't eat anymore and couldn't enjoy your food anymore, you could go put your finger down your throat and puke and eat more. Say, that's wicked. That's perverse. And stupid. They were all wicked. But they were not founded on the teachings of Jesus. Their country was not founded on the teachings of Jesus. Their country was not founded on the commandments of God. Or some of them, like Israel, was founded. But you know what? Herod was appointed by Rome, the government, to rule over Jerusalem. So it was like a church that's leaders are appointed by man. Hello? Does that ever happen? So, Herod, Pharaoh, you had screaming and weeping and wailing in the streets. And how many? Somebody said thousands. Did you say thousands, Gary? Probably. Thousands? Probably both ways, thousands. We've had 60 million. Why aren't they weeping or wailing or crying in the streets? Because it's all done secretly behind closed doors. It's done stealth, but it's still a sacrifice to Satan. Say, welcome to the last days. Fulfilled, praise God. Acts 2:14. Now this is good. Now we can switch gears and go to Yah, Rah. We still got to be careful of what's going on in society, but you know, really, we need to pray. We need to elect godly. We need to do everything we can to turn around our nation, but really it all depends on we're going to do the right thing regardless. Right? 2:14, Peter standing up with the 11 raised his voice and he said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk. Melissa? These are not drunk as you suppose, and it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, says God. Say, welcome to the last days. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Say, I'm a son, I'm a daughter. Whatever you are, say it. I'm a son, I'm a son. Praise God, I'm a son. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And all my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Listen, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. Ooh, eclipses. And the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it will come to pass that, listen, this is important, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved. Save. Say, welcome to the last days. Say, praise God for the last days. Praise God you've allowed me to live in these days. Praise God. You looked at me and said, you're strong enough, son. You're strong enough, Mark. You're strong enough, brother, to make it. You're strong enough to make it. You're strong enough to make it, and not only make it, but excel in these last days. But if you focus on, oh, it's getting so hard and it's so bad, you can't do that. You got to focus on the promises of God. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The message of God was poured out on all flesh in the days of Noah, right? But all flesh didn't embrace it. I embrace the word of God. If nobody else on this planet embraces what God says, I will embrace it. And you just got to set yourself up. I will not bow. I will not bow. I will not bow to the enemy. I only bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say hallelujah. 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 Say hallelujah in Russian. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah in Haitian. Hallelujah. No matter what language, it's hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Joel 3:9, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for peace. Is that what it says? Says, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty man. I said, wake up the mighty man. And that's not only talking about men, that's talking about mankind. Wake up the mighty man. You know what he's saying? You're mighty. You know what he's saying, Samuel? You're mighty. You know what he's saying, brother? You're mighty. Sister, you're mighty. You're mighty. You're mighty. You're mighty. You're mighty. You're mighty, you're mighty, and all you got to do is wake up. Wake up, mighty men, let all men of war draw near. Let them come up and beat their plowshares into swords. We always hear it the other way around. That's going to be good someday. We're going to beat our swords into plowshares, but there's a time before that where we're gonna beat our plowshares into swords. Y'all even know what a plowshare is. I barely do, but some of you do. They're the things that dig down into the soil and flip it over. Correct, Mike? That's a plowshare. And your pruning hook into spears. Listen, let the weak, say it. Let the weak say, I am strong. Are you weak? You're strong. But if you're weak, you say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the rich, let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Hallelujah. Okay, 3:14. Say it. Say multitudes.
Multitude.
Say multitudes.
Multitude.
Every time in the Bible, what does that mean? Jesus said he went out and he preached to the multitudes. He went out and he preached to the masses, right? It says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And we, our favorite verse we got on our church cards is Mark 16, go, go. Go into all the world and preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right?
Yep.
These signs will follow those who believe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't even have to read that verse. I don't have to read it because I know it. I claim it all the time.
Amen. But Mark, what do you do when Nancy's still in the hospital after a year?
You keep asking! You don't wimp out and say, I ain't going up there no more. I don't have nothing to give her.
Amen. Come on.
And that's what happens. You get discouraged and you go, huh? Must not work. You ever heard anybody say that fell away from God said, well, I tried Jesus, but it don't work. You ever heard that? I've heard that. Just didn't work for me. I'm glad it's working for you, brother. That's what Lazarus said. Didn't work for me. Just dip your finger. Give me a drop of water in this burning place. Didn't work for me. John chapter 4, just about through. Say, just about through. Say, praise God. And go eat Mexican food or something. Praise God. Right? I'm hungry. Jesus said to them, okay, listen to this, important. Red words are red. My food, hey, that worked out with the Mexican thing. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Say, welcome to the last day. I embrace the last days. I do embrace the last days. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here. Do me a favor. Look around. Look around at these seats. There's a lot of empty seats today, and I know a lot's going on, but look around. I want you just in your mind's eye to see who's not here. And I want you to make it a point to pray for them. They may be suffer. They may have things going on in their life right now that they need prayer for. Lift them up in prayer. And then they may like a lot of us, the cares of the world, you know. A lot of the cares of the world right now. It's supposed to be a time when we focus on family and the birth of Jesus, but usually it turns into cares and running here and running there and doing this and doing that. So just pray. It's a rough time of year, especially with people with children. They got a lot going on, so pray for them. Please pray for them and just don't just shoot them a text, or better yet, y'all know still know how to talk on the phone. A couple of you do, but here's the best way I found to do that. You trick them. Y'all know. Now you know my secret. You text something like, how you doing? And when they text back, you go, can you talk on the phone now? Text. So then you actually talk on the phone and just ask them if you can pray for them. Just tell them. Don't go, why weren't you in church? Don't say that. Just say, we've missed you. We've missed you, and when you're not there, there's an empty spot. You know, just love, that's all. Like I say, I know there's a lot going on, but just encourage them and bless them. And I guess that's all I've got to say about that. Gospel's like a box of chocolates. You're never going to know what you're going to get till you read it. Let's stand up. Thank y'all for putting up with me. I love y'all too. I really do. Sherry told me something very encouraging the other night. She said, if you know during the American Revolution and if you know during the First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening, and I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed preachers now on the internet, but they're talking. I've heard many times about the Third Great Awakening. We've been talking about that for 10 years. So it's starting to be birthed. People are looking forward to this great awakening that's about to happen in America. But it's birthed through prayer and social consciousness, where people know what's the right thing to do, is birthed in the pulpit. Now, Sherry said this, the pulpits were fiery and they didn't mix the truth with lies. They didn't compromise. So pray for me that I won't compromise. Pray for our crew, our blessed church. The blessed church, how would Aykroyd would say that? Oh, bless the church of KCIW, Lord. Bless them with the presence and power of God. God. But that's a church. There's a church right now in Pee Wee Valley, Kentucky. Now, what are you laughing at? The Aykroyd thing? I didn't say, oh, blessed mother of acceleration. I didn't say that. I did not say that. But I'm just saying that is a church, a bona fide, real church. And I tell them every time I preach out there, we come to your church, the church that meets at KCIW, you know, or whatever God calls it. It's church. And God's doing some great, mighty works out there. So you need to pray for that church because you're a part of it. It's a satellite church, right? Well, that's in modern lingo. We got a satellite church in Pee Wee Valley. Yes. And the revenue is minus, minus, minus. But praise God, the souls are plus, plus, plus. So souls are coming in. It's a missionary work. So God, we pray for the church at KCIW. Would you like to pray for that church, Chuck? Let's all agree and pray with authority for that church. And tell them to pray for this church. Their prayers are mighty too, yep. Praise God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to go out there, Father. And Lord, I just pray blessings over those women, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would increase their hunger for you, Father. Lord, that they would experience you, Lord, in a unique way, Lord. Each one of them individually, Father, in a different way, Father. That they would find you, Lord, and that it won't just be a jailhouse Jesus, Lord, but it'll be an everlasting Jesus, Lord. That when they get out, Father, they will continue to seek your face, Father. That it's not just a thing they're doing for the parole board, Lord, to look good, Lord, but it's something that they're doing because they love you, Lord, and that they seek after you, Father. Lord, I ask Jesus that you would give them ladies a greater anointing, Father. Lord, I ask Jesus that you would give them a fresh tongue, Lord. Lord, I ask Jesus that you would let this carry on, Lord, to their children, Lord, and their spouses, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for that building out there. I thank you for that church, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that the other churches that go in there, Lord, are going to preach the same thing, Lord, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Lord, that they're not going to sugarcoat anything, Lord, but they're going to speak and they're going to speak the truth, Lord, what your word says, Father. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for Stephen. I want to thank you, Lord, for Sarah. I want to thank you, Lord, for Dennis. I want to thank you, Lord, for Caleb and for Gary, Lord, and everybody, and Nina, Lord, and that everybody that goes out there, Lord, whether it be on a Saturday or a Sunday, Lord, I ask, Jesus, that you would just increase their blessings, Father, that you would increase their anointing, Jesus. Lord, that you would give them fresh tongues, Lord. New visions, Father. I thank you, Lord, for new visions, Father. And, Lord, I pray for this church right here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord. I thank you, Father, for bringing my family here, Jesus. Lord, I speak blessings upon Pastor Mark and Pastor Donna, Lord. I ask, Jesus, that you would just give them the desires of their heart, Lord, that you would just increase their anointing, Father, that you would increase everything, Lord, their prosperity, Lord. And, Jesus, I declare that this is going to be the year that Pastor Donna retires. This is going to be her year that she's going to be able to retire, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Your word says that you'd give us the desires of our heart, Lord. And, Lord, that is one of her desires, to be able to retire. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, that she's going to be able to retire this year. I declare it, Lord. And, Jesus, I just plead the blood of Jesus over those two, Father, that you would protect them, Lord, that you would keep them, Lord, that you would just increase blessings on them, Lord. I speak health on them. I speak prosperity over them, Father. And again, Lord, I just thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray.
Lord, bless them going out. Bless them coming in, God. Bless them with the righteousness of God, which is your righteousness, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for a pleasant spirit. I thank you, Lord, for boldness. I thank you for strength. I thank you, God, that weariness is broken. I thank you, God, that strength and power is released into these bodies, souls, and spirits. God, I thank you, God, that your kingdom come, your will be done right here on earth, right there in their homes, right there in their workplaces, God, everywhere they go, everywhere they shop, everything they do, the presence of God comes in and changes the atmosphere, God, in Jesus' name. Just do me one favor for homework. Before you say yes to anything this week, pray about it. Before you say no to anything this week, pray about it. If you'll do that, you're going to be led of the Lord a lot more than just bumping here and there. There's going to be a lot more victory in your life.